Welcome to the Dead by Breeder podcast. My name is Jeremy, and in this episode, Alex and I once again sit down and talk shit, really. Kind of a bit of a catch-up, wrap-up of what's happened in the last few weeks. Kind of get a bit of a feel of how racing's been here in Australia. It seems just to be non-stop, which is fantastic, and the numbers are so good. So we kind of sit there, talk about that, but we're also here to announce that we have kind of always been a part of the Australian Hard Enduro Championship, but we've really stepped it up. What we're going to be doing now is offering a free spot, a free registration to a rider. So the rider registrations have closed, unfortunately, before this got out. So what it means is if you want your spot reimbursed, you got to enter this competition. There are only a couple of days. It's really cool that we get on board with a Australian Hard Enduro Championship to be able to bring you this. So if you want your registration reimbursed, listen to this episode. We'll tell you how to do it and enter, and we will have a decision for a couple of days. After that, every round following this one, we will have a free spot. So if you ever thought about doing a hard enduro and you want the chance to have a free entry, make sure you listen to the podcast, follow along, and we'll give you all the information you need. As always, thank you to our supporters, B&B Off-Road, Whole Shot Graphics, On Point Motor and Suspension, Achobe's Australia, and Adventure On Store. It's been so good to have them on board. We actually talk a little bit about some desert training I've been doing, so make sure you go on our social media and look at the video, because it's a bit of a laugh. It's one of those things where you got to watch it to believe it. So, as always, enjoy the episode and get after it. Cheers. Welcome to the Dirt by Breeder podcast. My name is Jeremy, and this is season 5 of this crazy podcast that we started so long ago. Myself and Alex are the hosts, and we appreciate your time. And everyone that gets on this podcast, we share stories from desert racing, flat track, hard enduro, regular enduro, all forms of motorcycles. We try and bring everyone together and have a yarn. Really just share the stories, get everyone pumped for a weekend, or recap on what just happened over the weekend. There's so much racing in Australia, and we're very proud to be a part of it and to bring you it. So thank you for tuning in. Like in life, we get a bit excited. The guests get a bit excited. It's a bad language can come out. It's unfortunate. We do apologize if you don't like bad language, but shit happens. Thanks to the amazing support we have from not only you, the fans, but companies here in Australia, we wouldn't be able to make this happen. So thank you. Please remember to share all the episodes that you like, because it doesn't just give us the exposure, but it gives the riders the exposure, and that's what they really need. We need to get the events out there. We need to get the riders out there so we can bring more attention to them and help them grow their career. So once again, welcome to season 5. Hope you enjoy. Strap in. It is going to be an epic year. And get after it. Cheers. All right, Alex, we're back. I don't know what happened.
Bit of a false start there. Like, what's going on?
Just it's been one of those times. Another one of those episodes where it's all over the shop. But we're back, Alex.
Yeah, mate. How you been?
Good, buddy. It's been a week off. I've been away. I let the team down, but we're back here, back ready to go.
You've had a bit on, mate. You've been all over the place.
Yeah, it's been full on since, we did Waddle Flat. It must have been 4 weeks ago. No, not Waddle Flat. Holy moly, Kosciuszko.
Cozzy.
I'm all over the shop, mate. It was a long week in the desert with Coxie. We did that. We had a few episodes, but just work's been hectic. We had a whole bunch of stuff going on in Canberra and things like that. And then, I was away most of last week in the desert with the big cock. And now we're back getting episodes out. Also getting the bike ready for Waddle Flat, which is next weekend.
Mate, I was going to say, we've got plenty to talk about, actually. We kind of haven't spoken for a while. There's Waddle Flat, there's, there's obviously your training you've been doing, there's all sorts of stuff in the VORC, there's all stuff in the world scene. Obviously, Toby, a bit of old news, but, Toby Price no longer with KDM, so it's been a bit happening.
I know, and once again, it's one of those things where I'm sitting in the office late at night and you are sitting in the car watching your kids play soccer, and it's the time we have.
It's the quietest place I can find. It really is.
Yeah. Away from all the children, which is it's a safe place for the children when you're locked in a car, mate.
Nah, all good. So tell us a bit about the Sandy Desert, mate. Tell us a bit about your ride.
Right. So I took the desert sled, the 501, out to kind of the Mildura area with Robert Cox from Next Adventure, and we spent a couple of days. Really, I think in 2 days we did just on 800 Ks, I think, in 2 days. I think it was like 760 or something stupid. And it was really cool to see the limitations of the bike.
How did it go? How'd the bike go?
Yeah, well, great. Look, he was riding a KDM 690 rally, like a real rally bike.
Big boy.
Big old rally school bike, which is sick. And the first day was actually in Sunset National Park, and so it was just a lot of like gravel roads and long straights, and I mean there was some whooped out stuff, like real tight whooped out stuff, which sucked for both of us. But I really found that his bike just was beautiful and comfortable, and he could pull away, and it was a lot more plush than mine, and I really started worrying about it. And then the second day was down in the Big Desert, and we did must have been about 120 k's of deep sand, deep rutted.
It would have been a change sand, bike would have shone.
Oh, my bike was beautiful. But, you know, by lunchtime, poor Coxie had a couple of falls. He was completely buggered, whereas, you know, as fresh as a daisy on the 500 and looking for more.
I kind of think desert, I think sand, and then you posted that video of poor Coxie with his bike.
Mate,
that was one of the funniest things I've seen.
Oh, look, that was day one, and I'll set the whole video up tomorrow when this comes out. But look, it started with him riding into it, and literally it was just the profile of his tire in the mud, and he stopped and went, this could be pretty bad, I'm going to pull out. Within maybe 20 minutes, it was that deep. It was under, like the exhaust was under, like the whole thing. And it just got worse and worse and worse to the point where we were just like laying the bike on its side, flipping it over, sticking like a whole
just
bunch of
weird put a match
stuff
on it, mate.
Mate, and the mud was endless. Like it would just keep going and going down.
Yeah. And then you make sure you post that video you sent me, mate.
That's the one I will. Classic. Yeah. And then it gets worse. And the thing was, that wasn't meant to happen. So we were finished. It must have been about 3:34. And we're like, okay, let's turn in. We're going in. Cox goes, oh, I can just see a bit of a detour here. We could do this. Just this quick little run. I was like,
shortcut.
Okay, fine. And we went there and we ended up being in that little spot for an hour and a half. Like, got
it
back.
It is classic. It's almost like it's fake. It's that funny.
And like that one scene, everyone's seen with him, like that mud cake, and he's like shaking his ass to try and get it out. Like, I couldn't laugh because I could see like the little steam coming off his head, and I was like, oh, he's gonna crack shit soon if I start laughing at him. But he just kept his composure.
In typical Coxie fashion, super professional. I would have been just like livid. I would have been.
But the worst.
I reckon I may have just put a match in the fuel tank and walked away.
Well, anybody else would, and like we had straps on it trying to pull it, and about a 3 meter radius around it was all that mud. So no matter where you were, you were going to sink. And it got worse. And then, as I said, we managed to chase the son back to town, and then he spent ages at the car wash. It happened to be the only car wash in the desert, and he managed to clean the bike off. But that was fun. And then you said the second day was pretty much just all deep sand, which the 500 really rocked in. And it kind of just showed the week around. Like, it was really cool just to get some time on the bike.
It's like anything, right? It's always a compromise. You're never going to get a bike that's perfect at everything. I had this conversation with my boys the other day about Duro and motocross and the differences, and you're never going to get a bike that's good at both things. It's you know, either set up for the desert like yours or set up for the fast stuff like his.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I think that's also a great thing about bikes, is that you can really learn to ride it so differently. And I think it does make you appreciate bikes a lot better when you do kind of ride so many different disciplines.
Yeah. Very good, mate. I'm glad you got some K's in on that, because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been good. It was good to get us heaps of K's on it. And then now I just dropped the 350. Has been floating around a little bit. It went on a bit of an adventure. But it's back and it's getting ready for Wattle Flat, which is next weekend.
Mate, a couple of weeks. Yeah, not this coming. Well, it depends when this episode comes out, but the 11th and 12th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very, very exciting. And what are you going to do, mate? Because obviously, you're a silver rider, but you were talking about maybe you're doing bronze.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to bronze. I had a great time, and I'm still kind of in limbo with the deserts to do the 10 deserts. And, you know, I'm waiting on a couple of – I'm coming – I think there's like only two left to open, and then we can go. So I'm not going to push it. And I think we spoke about it last time. I'm just mentally not there to struggle for like the 3 hours, whereas the bronze was just, I had a fat time. Like, I was like cruising around. Yeah, there was some stop and sit, but then it was just really cool to have those transit sections and enduro sections. So no, I'll go bronze, but this is the first time we can actually say we're going to be giving away a ride at the next at the continuing rounds for Australian Hard Enduro Championship.
Well, mate, as we, you know, I was going to go, we were going to both ride. Unfortunately, I can't go to Melbourne, but Let's give a listener a free spot at Waddle Flat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll do it at the next couple as well, all the way through the rest of the championship. We're going to give away a free spot. And if you've already paid, you'll just get your spot refunded. It's totally fine. But yeah, I think we want really more people to go racing and experience it, especially if it is just from a bronze level, or if you're, a silver rider and you just want to go and have a great weekend, bronze is something to enter as well. And we're going to give away a spot.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. And we've got to, you know, Greg's put his heart and soul into this, Greg Peterson, for those that know him. So, yeah, we can do what we can to support him. So what do you reckon, mate? Who's going to win it?
Well, I don't know. We haven't said the competition yet. I don't know.
What should it be? Best fail, best tip, best... what do you reckon?
You know what? We did talk about this, but I just forgot what we... What are we doing? We're doing best tip. Was it best tip?
Best tip? Yeah, I reckon... Best for a newbie, for perhaps for someone that hasn't done an event before. Think back to your first. What would you do?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Best tip or best something that you do that not many people know and get really excited when they find out about it. I think that's a cool one because I mean we all find out little things here and there that that people do, and I think it's always interesting to see that. I remember going to Fink and seeing how they wrap fuel lines differently and
breathers
differently. I mean, that was interesting tips. And people tape, you know, bars and food up in their scrub bars or what are they called, hand guards.
And then, the bar pad,
I was just talking to a fellow in New Zealand, Lost Squid. He was talking to me, he puts coolant in a bottle in his front fork for when he does hard enduros. And I'm like, man.
How does that work?
Well, just a little plastic bottle, like a drink bottle.
Yeah.
Just puts it in there with coolant, so when he boils his bike, he can just put some coolant in it. That was like...
You should have had that at Cozzy, mate. Oh, that would have saved you.
Mate, I'm actually going the Tom Woodhouse route. I'm going to be running that Boilers or whatever the shit it is. What is it?
Evans Waterless.
Yeah, cool.
Boil proof, whatever it is. Yeah, okay.
You know, we're really selling that.
Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah, I'm going to be running that at Waddle Flat because I'm just going to give it a shot to see what it's about, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Plus, that way I don't get another one of them stupid viral videos of me laying on a puddle, like splashing.
Washing your bike.
Oh, man. I forgot to call you about this. I got this sent last week when I was with Coxie.
Yeah.
You know when you get like videos in, like on Instagram or Reels or whatever and then like obviously someone's stolen it and then put like different language underneath it to like describe the video. We got one done in Spanish. Someone's taken that video and put a Spanish.
Send it to me.
I have to go back through my things and find it. But I was with Coxie, and I just get this message. And Scott is like, "Hey, you know you're Spanish," and I was like, "What?" And he sent it to me, and it's on the Spanish Hard Enduro page. I was like, "Yeah,
love it, love it,
made it, mate, made it."
Yeah. Yeah, so anyone who's keen to go, send us your best tip.
Yeah, that's it. And if you are going, still send it in and you could win your entry back.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. That's awesome. And good luck, mate. Take it easy. Like I said, I'd plan to go, but off to Melbourne on the 9th and I'm there down there for a week. So
I've had
to bow out, unfortunately.
Not cool at all. Yeah. What else has been going on?
Oh, mate, a little bit. Not too much. I've kind of, much like you, I've been very busy with work. I've had all sorts of things on both in New South Wales and Canberra and nationally. But what I have been meaning to talk to you about is obviously the Toby Price news a few months ago or a few weeks ago. He announced he's departing KTM.
Yeah, that's big, wasn't it?
That's big and so unexpected.
I don't know if there's
plenty of rumours, but I don't know what the truth is.
Well, I mean, his contract was up. I mean, I think last year was his joker year, I think. I can't remember. Or he had an extra year. I don't know. It was a bit of a shock for him to not get signed. I mean, the rumours are that there's been discrepancies with KTM Group and new management.
I'm
not too sure what's going on there. But it is sad. It's sad for the brand, I think, for in Australia as well. Like, it is sad because KTM really now don't have anyone to fly the desert flag for them. I mean, previously, you know, we've got Chucky on the Gasser and
you know
there's also rumors out there that he's not really happy with that at the moment, the bike, so that could be something. And then we've got Milner, who's back after his injury on the Milner. I mean, it's a bit of a KTM curse though, isn't it, the old the enduro guys on KTMs. I think Stefan Grinqvist crashed on a KTM in his year, then Andy Walsh crashed in his year, and now Milner crashed. I mean, I'm not saying it, but bit of a curse.
Yep.
But then, Toby Price not signing up, and then, you know, all the rumours are out that he may go to Hero Motorcycles, but that got taken up by Lenacho, and And then I just don't think he's going to be able to fit on Hondo because they've got like five guys, I think, on their team at the moment.
And there'd be a list, right? I mean, they've won it 2 years in a row as far as Dakar. So internationally, they're pretty strong.
Yeah, which is so sad because I would have loved to see Pricey go on a Honda, especially because like Honda and Australian riders have had such a long history. You've got like the Smith brothers and Grabo and all that kind of stuff. It's such a good history on the... It would be sad to not see, you know, Toby get one as well.
But yeah, really shocking. I think they're kind of synonymous together, those two, KTM and Toby Price. They go hand in hand. So
so many years. Like, I mean, think of all the Finks. Think of all the AIC
Finks. Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's it's really sad. So hopefully we can get him back on a bike, you know, something at least.
Speaking of Fink, mate, I did read the other day that they're yet to sell out, and yet Hattara sold out almost immediately.
Oh, it would have been hours.
That kind of, mate, I'm perhaps a little bit uneducated, but that surprised me.
I mean, yeah, look, I don't want to get into the conspiracy of Hattar, but Hattar always sells out. You know,
take your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, mate. I'm not. I don't want to get into that because I have some words about Hattar, but I think Hattar is an amazing race. I really do, and it sells out for a good reason. It really does. Yeah. It is probably one of Australia's best races. But for Fink not to sell out, I can't put it down to anything but probably the costing this year of how much everything is to do anything. That's what I hope. I mean, we've been blamed a little bit. I think we got that weird last year, people were talking about, well, you know, the episode we did with Chucky and how he poo-pooed.
We were
a bit upset that we broadcast that one. But at the end of the day, that's just everyone's opinion, and it's fine. But I think it's still one of our favorite, like it's my favorite race in Australia when it comes to the desert. I mean, just to watch, it's a spectacle, and especially this weekend or the last week that's just gone, Anzac week is usually a really big week out in the Fink track because it's when everyone goes up there pre-running. So
starts doing the pre-running, yeah.
So it was a very, very busy week. I saw like all the top guys there. Lukey Hayes has been out there real busy.
I saw all his footage. Yeah, he's looking good.
Snapping engine mounts too, by the way. Like he's been snapping them left, right, center. So you know the big fellas swinging off it, and Callum Norton, Brody Waters looking mean, and obviously Walshy just absolutely killing it. So.
Didn't you have a 500 going there?
We're not supposed to be talking about that. That is actually something I want to talk about. No, that's the Gasser 500, and that's now not
coming. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so that's not going to get there now till when I win for Fink, so that's coming at the end.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. That's a little stick or squirrel stuff, mate. Don't you worry about that.
Edit that bit out.
Yeah. It'll be a great reveal later on. But you can't mention that before tax time, mate. What are you talking about? Come on.
Yeah. What Gasser?
Yeah. You're right. Hattar selling out is great. It's awesome to see. But for Fink not to sell out, I mean, I don't think it sold out last year, though, did it?
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, just thinking about what you're saying, I don't think last year was a sellout either.
No. I'm pretty sure it was a sellout after COVID.
Yeah.
And then maybe the second year after that it was sold out, but then it's tapered off quite a bit.
Yeah, it has. It really has.
Which is really sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I think it was the year after the crash that everyone got the willies because they didn't know whether it was going to go ahead, whether it was going to be cancelled because of...
Well, there was that inquest in it for quite... the death. That took... I mean, that was... Wasn't that 2 years or something in the coroner's court and all that sort of stuff,
Because it was last year when we went there, they were a bit funny. I think that was when they didn't know whether it was going to run, whether it was going to run, whether the cars were going to run, whether they were not going to run. Then they had that 30 meter from the
spectator. That's right.
And then they had helicopters running up and back. So, I mean, it does get expensive when you have to put these rules into place, which I think takes away from the race. I mean, I watched Fink there and back the other night again.
How good is it? Fourth time.
Just because I'm showing people what Fink is. And you still get goosebumps when you watch that movie. It's one of the best.
Yeah, you do.
But it definitely, I think it takes away that that spectator kind of point of view from the race as well, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
Hattar selling out, awesome. Fink not selling out, not so good. So hopefully, maybe we'll try and get some entry fees for, free entries for some riders next year, mate. We'll do our best.
Mm. And for our mere mortals, it was really good to see the Transmoto crew have just finished their second event at Narrabri.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, Narrabri looks sick too, didn't it?
It did. It looked dusty.
Yeah,
but certainly not as dusty as Tumut.
Nothing
really good to see them completed the event. So that was great.
Oh look, it was bloody awesome, and especially to go that well after not a really good one at Stroud. You know, that Stroud was a bit of an unfortunate one. Yeah. It was and you know, we'll still get there and talk to them.
Yeah, of course.
But we'll just have to wait and see and finally get onto them at some point.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, and they're a cracking event. Like, you know, I do love them. It's kind of my sort of riding, so yeah, I'm a huge fan of those ones.
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing is the GNCC's also got announced. Do you see that?
I did, but do you know what, mate? I cannot think of me, but I cannot recall for the life of me, beg your pardon, the dates.
Oh, no, it was in May. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, no, that's what I had a feeling it was May, but I think it was late May, wasn't it? 26th, 7th, 8th, or something?
Why not? Let's go for that. Yeah, why not?
Let's just lock that in.
Let's go for that. Let's just go, 25th to 28th of May. I just had a quick search. 25th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
and in New South Wales, which is exciting. Jawbone. So that's
where's pretty, that?
Well, no, I don't know. They make up names. They can do whatever they want, man. It's GNCC.
Yeah, okay.
I'm gonna love it. But back racing quads and everything else, fun and funny. So it's gonna be a good race. Because I mean, the VORC just happened as well.
Yes, that did. Yeah. That sounded like a pretty good event too.
Yeah, which was a sister event to the AORC as well.
That's right, yeah. They don't often run in tandem, but they do this time.
Yeah, which by all accounts looked absolutely awesome, and we'll talk to a couple of riders from that as well. Share some episodes. So it's been a good start of the year for racing.
It has, mate. It really has, and I think it's only going to get better. This time of year is nice to ride too. It's not hot. It's not cold. The conditions usually start to get pretty good from here on in.
But they also get very, very cold from here on in. So
well, it depends where you are. In Sydney, it's pretty good all year round. But yeah,
Sydney. Yeah, well, not even. Mate. We've had frosts and everything. It's horrific. So don't worry about you. People come up to Wattle Flat from Sydney, which is amazing.
Frosts.
It'll be cold. It'll be cold.
Brother, ew.
Jesus. Ew. You're too old for that kind of carry-on, Alex. Get out.
Brother,
yeah,
ew.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is weird.
I want to put my heater grips on.
Don't laugh. I've put them on the 350.
I know.
I took them off the beta and stuck them on the 350. It's like that. That's what happens. That's what happens when you get old and you don't.
You get the old, mate.
Yeah, I'm getting so old. My bike looks pretty. I have pretty gear.
All your new shiny gear.
Yeah, little new shiny gear. Very shiny. Very happy. So
you're not wearing shitty Alpine Stars, are you?
No. I mean, I do wear Alpine Star, and we can talk about this because I wear Alpine Star. I have a gear set that I got, and I run the boots as well.
Yep.
But you have a problem with them.
Look, I won't bad mouth them, but I'm just very disappointed when you buy a $900 set of boots that last 4 months,
mate,
before the sides start ripping out of them, the soles start falling off them. So.
Really?
And not just me, my son's Tech 7s, my Tech 10s, like it's just disappointing, mate. But look, hey, you know, I suppose they're a consumable at the end of the day, but just disappointed that they lasted. Because I've had three or four different pairs, and each of them have lasted years.
Mm.
But this last set have just literally disintegrated. So, bit of a sore point, mate. That's all.
Yeah, right. I could tell, mate.
But look, they're consumables. Like I said, they're designed to wear, I suppose. And there must be that balance for those guys between, you know, soft and grippy soles versus, you know, hard and soles that give longevity. But anyway, look, I don't know what I'm talking about other than I'm disappointed I got to replace them in 3 months, 4 months.
I'm not going to get into it, but look, I just bought me a set of Tech 10s, but I'm actually only using them for the desert stuff because they're a lot more comfortable. I actually run the Liat 5.5s. I run them now for like a year and a half or something. And I think they're great.
The Tech 10s are mint with that inner boot and they're super stiff. They're a magic boot, but yeah, I've just had no luck, unfortunately. So,
I mean, I've even started running the Liat helmet for the hard enduros because I don't want to ruin my 6T.
Yeah, well, you're going to keep that for the fast stuff, yeah?
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I can admit this. I think we're going to have to. I've actually gone out and bought a adventure helmet.
We're no longer friends, Jeremy Cowie. Please tell me you haven't got one of those screens.
It's got a screen, it's got a flip. Oh.
You're dropping out, mate. You're driving into a tunnel. I can't hear you.
I know. But it was just a couple of days on the bike, like going down gravel roads. And the 60 is amazing, but it just has wind noise and it just echoes through your head. And I had earplugs in and the whole like fitted earplugs, and it just was fucking annoying. So I was talking to Coxie, and then he got me onto onto these adventure helmets, and you know, just born.
Mate, I get it. When we did that, you know, 2-day ride, we had dirt bike helmets and goggles, and it was freezing. Remember that ride?
And it was awful.
It was awful. I think if you had a full screen, it would have been much nicer.
Yeah, I know. I know. So yeah, I've gone down the route and bought a Bell adventure helmet because and people are trying to tell me to buy like climb and all this kind of stuff, but I don't know what it is. It's just been, I don't know, distilled in me or something. But I just want to buy helmets from companies that make helmets. In my head, that's just how like I want to do it. Especially after having so many different ones, I've just kind of settled now. If a manufacturer just makes helmets, then that's what I want to go with.
Couldn't agree more, mate.
It's just one of those things now. So yeah, I just bought a Bell one, but no, it's gonna be hidden in the back of the shed, like right in the back, like right in the back.
Don't let me see it.
No one will see it. I'm only gonna, even in like the photos when I'm in the desert, I'll quickly take it off, throw it into a bush, and then put it back on when I drive.
I'll be sticking inappropriate things on it.
Oh, you know me. Yeah, this is my helmet. This is my missus's or something like that. You know.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Nah, it's all good, mate. It's all good. Well, I hope you have all fun at Wattle Flat. I probably won't see you between now and then.
No, you won't.
Look after yourself, please. Don't injure yourself in your desperation to do it. And like we said, if you've got a tip, shoot us a message. You get on the draw.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put it on socials. You have to the end of the week, which will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You've got 2 days. We'll draw it on Saturday, send it out. And the winner will get their entry either paid for or refunded for the Wattle Flat round. And then we'll do that at every single round for the rest of the year.
That's awesome, man. Really exciting.
Yeah, it is so exciting. All right, Alex. Well, you have fun sitting in the car looking at children.
Go play with your adventure helmet, mate. You should never have told me that.
I don't know which insult was worse just then, looking at kids or playing with an adventure.
You know what's weird? But one of the boys who did the Tumut round, the Tumut Transmoto with rode a Yamaha, and there was plenty of healthy banter around.
Oh, he was awesome. I loved him.
He's a good bloke. He's a great bloke. But about being a Yamaha rider. Mm. And obviously my kids weren't there for that. They stayed in Sydney because didn't have a kids loop. But my 12-year-old boy said the other day, we just got in the car, innocent, out of the, you know, kids. I said, "Dad, you know, girls look really good on Yamahas, don't they?" I said, "Can you repeat that again and tell Pete?" Oh, it was just beautiful. Wasn't it?
Well, there we go. They do.
There we go.
Yamahas.
You could leave it on that.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Girls look great. That's the name of our episode. Girls look great on Yamahas.
All right, legend. All right, take it easy.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.